The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Alvin and Chris, I apologize. This is not real. It's just a show. I'm playing the role of Eric Metaxas, and it's only because I fit the jacket, like Johnny Bravo in the Brady Bunch episode. Okay, what are we talking about today? Well, we've got a lot to talk about.
I just feel like saluting you today, Eric. I don't know why. I just feel like saluting you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Are you saluting me or the character that I'm playing called Eric Metaxas?
No, I'm saluting the real Eric Metaxas, author of Fish Out of Water. Oh my goodness.
Oh, thank you very much. Listen, you know what? Thank you for bringing that up. The feedback I have been getting on that as an author, you don't know when you put something out what's going to happen. And I am thrilled at the feedback I'm getting. People are really enjoying the read very much, at least a lot of them are. And that just means a lot to me because, you know, you can put a book out with important information in it, but it's not easy to read. The fact is that this book, people are saying they're really enjoying the read. And I just have to say, I'm getting emails every day. And I just want to mention that we've got a number of things we have to cover here. And I want to say that in this hour, actually, I'm not sure who we're going to be talking to soon, but in the next segment, I want to talk about the cancel culture, and I want to talk about the Dr. Seuss thing. I also want to talk about Andrew Cuomo, and the Dr. Seuss thing. But we've got a lot of crazy guests this week. Yeah. Tomorrow, I'm pretty sure we have Curtis Sliwa. If you don't know who that is, boy, how do you describe him? He is as New York as it possibly gets. He's a New Yorker. He talks like this. He's the real deal. He started, we've had him on this program before, but he's going to be running for mayor of New York. Now, I would literally elect anyone or anything to get de Blasio out of office. De Blasio is a communist maniac. He is in every way the worst mayor we've ever had. We've had incompetent mayors. We've had left-leaning mayors. We've never had anyone as incompetent and as left-leaning. I mean, and this is not to attack him as a person, but as a mayor, it is so disastrous what has happened to New York City. When he first came in, I kept saying to Suzanne, would it be possible to undo the staggering progress we have made in this city? I mean, if you grew up in this city, the 60s, the 70s, it was, everybody knew New York is dangerous and dirty and horrible. Well, when Giuliani got in, in the 90s, it was a miracle what happened to this city. I actually keep saying, if you want to know what one person can do, you know, I often give these speeches about Wilberforce. I say what one person can do, it's unbelievable. Effectively, under Giuliani's leadership, one of the greatest cities in the world was transformed from a dump to one of the safest, most wonderful places. I mean, I saw it with my own eyes, and I still can't really believe what happened. Now, Bloomberg, for all of his problems, maintained it beautifully. Somehow, when de Blasio got in, I've simply never seen anything like it. I mean, we're certainly not back to where it was before, but it's stunning how a lack of leadership things can go. You know, it's like a garden that suddenly the weeds grow up and you don't even recognize it from what it was. That's kind of what's happening to New York. So Curtis Sliwa is going to be running for mayor. We're going to have him on this program tomorrow. We've had him on before. The guy's a hero. He's the real deal. He's amazing. So we're going to have him on tomorrow. That's number one. Number two, I want to talk to my friend Bruce Fogarty. Bruce Fogarty lives in Dallas. He's been a dear friend for a long time. He does this thing. It's one of the most amazing ideas. A lot of people already know about this. They're called Easter crosses. And it's kind of like this, you know, plastic cross thing, like looks like cardboard, whatever, that you put on your lawn around Easter. And I forget what it says, but on Easter morning, you flip it around and it says, "He is risen." They have been all over the country. They are just, it's one of the most amazing ways to share your faith. And when I say your faith, I mean anybody, whether you're Catholic, Greek Orthodox, whatever you are, if you believe in Jesus, it's just a really, really wonderful way to do that. And I want him to share that on this program. Maybe we'll get him on today in a few minutes, because it's so exciting. And I know there are a lot of people who already know about it. They do it every year, but there are people around the country, they've never heard of it. You need to do this, folks. This needs to become a thing wherever you live. And I want to tell you about that. Okay. I want to say that I got to talk about Cuomo, got to talk about Dr. Seuss. But before we forget, we're doing a fundraiser for, Albin, do you have this information?
Yeah, food for the poor. Food for the poor, folks.
Food for the poor.
Unbelievable what we're doing. Yeah.
We're trying really hard. I mean, I always say the same thing.
Yeah.
We're going through some crazy times.
Yeah.
And one of the ways that you battle the craziness and the evil and the darkness is by doing something that is an unadulterated good thing. Helping a neighbor. Praying for somebody. Anytime you do anything like that, it's what Christians call spiritual warfare. It's putting something out there that is powerful along God's purposes. And when we read scripture, it's obvious we're supposed to feed the poor. We're supposed to feed the hungry. We're supposed to help the poor. We're supposed to do all these different things. But we always wonder, well, but I don't know how, and I give taxes and my church gives and blah, blah, blah. You know, like the reason we bring up Food for the Poor on this program is because this is the whole Salem Radio Network, Sebastian Gorka, Dennis Prager, Hugh Hewitt, Mike Gallagher. Now we have Dinesh D'Souza and
Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk. You know, we're all doing this because Salem has been working with Food for the Poor for a long time. And we've determined that they're reputable. We go on missions trips with them to kind of see what they're doing. And they have an ability to leverage our money so dramatically and to get food to people. You know, this is not like the Clinton Foundation. You know, this is like the money actually gets to the people. Food gets to the people.
Eric, I just want to mention, after one of the first campaigns we did, you know, I think it was a few months later, they sent kind of a little plaque you could hang up, a little printout saying, you know, your show generated X number of meals for people in Haiti. And it was one of the things that I, you know, working in an office, it's not always fun, but it was one of the things that I would see at my desk that really sort of gave me pause. It was like 1 million people we fed or something crazy. It's like 1 million meals. I mean, it's staggering.
No, this is the thing. And so
I would walk by it and it was sort of like, it would always give me encouragement no matter, you know, how things were going in the day. It was sort of amazing.
That's right. And the thing is, you have to partner with somebody that you trust, because there's a lot of organizations you can give money to and you don't know what it's going to. Food for the Poor, they're the real thing. So I just want to say, to help feed starving kids in Honduras right now, they had these back-to-back tropical storms. In a place like Honduras, that means literally now millions of people are having trouble getting food. Just think about this, right? Food for the Poor actually is also right now helping people in Texas to get through what they've just been through, drinking water. I mean, it's hard to believe that there are poor areas, even of Texas, but mainly this is for the Honduras, but also for Texas. I want to say that actually, I think we've got a clip from our broadcaster in Dallas, John Hudson. He's traveled with Food for the Poor. I think he's got to share something about Dallas. Let's play that clip.
It's not us over here and them over there, but it's all of us collectively. For a moment, we get to live life together. And the cool thing is, I saw Food for the Poor and what they did, where our money goes. And it was a beautiful thing that impacted my life in such a great way that I can't wait to go back, because I believe in what Food for the Poor does. I've seen it with my own eyes, and it really is a part of my heart and a part of my life now.
Yeah.
Well, let me just say, go to metaxastalk.com. This is the quickest way to give. Go to metaxastalk.com. You'll see a banner. Click on the banner. $37 feeds a kid for 6 months. That's how Food for the Poor is able to leverage. They get huge donations, and a lot of the money that we give goes to simply getting the food from, you know, whether it's a tanker or a truck, whatever, to the people. I mean, this is, it's an amazing operation. The phone number is 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. When we come back, I'm going to read a Dr. Seuss parody that I wrote.
Hey there, folks. Eric Metaxas here with a message for anyone struggling with pain like I struggled with for years. Of course, I want you to know about Relief Factor, the 100% drug-free supplement that tens of thousands are now taking every day. Obviously, I'm taking it every day because I like being out of pain. If I forget to take it for like a week, I go on vacation, the pain comes back. So, you know, at first, yes, I was skeptical, but I kept hearing about all the people that were no longer in pain, friends of mine. So I decided to give it a try. In fact, here's one of the stories I heard.
I've been in back pain since my early 20s. Now I'm 51. In my early 20s, I worked for the state prison. I got injured and I was off work for about a year. I'm now a trained engineer. I basically sit all day long. My wife making me take Relief Factor literally changed my life. I don't feel like I'm 20 again, but my back does.
Everyone knows you want something drug-free. You want something that will help your own body deal with the inflammation that can cause the pain in your neck, back, shoulder, hip, knee, or foot pain. Actually, even general aches and pains from just getting older, from exercise, everyday living. All of these can be a real problem, even to the extent of keeping you from sleeping through the night. So here's what I'm suggesting. Pete and Seth Talbot, that's the father-son owners of Relief Factor. They've created what they call a three-week quick start pack. It's like a trial pack. They've discounted it drastically to $19.95. That's about a dollar a day. And after that period of time, 3 weeks, it's about the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. That's the three-week quick start for just $19.95. And you should know this, about 70% of the people who order the three-week quick start for $19.95 go on to order more. In other words, it works. So do what many others have already done. Take Pete and Seth Talbot up on the offer. Go to relieffactor.com, order the three-week quick start. That's relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Hey, I'm going to read a Dr. Seuss parody that I wrote. I want to remind you before I read it, Food for the Poor. Okay. I want to give you the phone number. We want everybody to participate. Get your kids involved. If they have an allowance or a salary that they get from doing something, have them pitch in here and help them to understand that we're supposed to give back. We're supposed to be good stewards of our money, which means we don't just give it to give. We have to think about where we give it so that it's actually doing some good. That's why we work with Food for the Poor. The phone number is 844-863-HOPE, 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 or you can go to metaxastalk.com and you'll see the banner there. Okay. Dr. Seuss is being canceled. You guys know all about this, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Okay. Well, a number of years ago, I wrote a Dr. Seuss parody, and it is from one of the books that's canceled. I think it's Dr. Seuss's first book that he wrote for kids. It was like the first one, and it's called And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street. You guys know this one?
Don't know it. Nope.
It's not that popular.
I know it now because I was researching it.
Well, it's not that well known. It's one of his earliest books, and it's called And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street. Now, of course, when somebody like me thinks of Mulberry Street as a New Yorker, okay, Mulberry Street is down in Little Italy where the Ravenite, you know, hunt and game, that's basically the mafia, the Gotti hangout, yeah. Right? So I wrote a parody And to Think That I Saw John Gotti on Mulberry Street, and I want to read my parody on it. I sent it out with my email today and I put it on social media so you can read it. But this is in honor of Dr. Seuss, who's being canceled. And by the way, this book was canceled. This book was canceled.
Wow.
So this one in honor of And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street, I wrote And to Think That I Saw John Gotti on Mulberry Street. Again, that's where his hangout was, right? All right. And it's told from the point of view of Marco, the little kid in the book, tells the story To Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street. And here it is. I'll try to read it in a semi-New York accent, right? Here it is. And As I walked to the bus stop one morning last May, at the loveliest hour of a perfect spring day, I was bursting with joy, so I followed my feet and I took a long shortcut past Mulberry Street. But something, I couldn't say what, gave me pause. If I had to say what, I'd have said, just because. But oh, what a big mamaluke that I was. But that's an Italian word, mamaluke. Because I didn't turn back. I still followed my feet till I came to the sign that reads Mulberry Street. And I spoke to a grizzled old timer named Pops, whose job was to keep a sharp lookout for cops. He told me I shouldn't be seen there that day. If I knew what was good, I'd stay out of the way. But just as I started to go, who'd I meet but the capo of capos on Mulberry Street? He was dressed to the nines like the rest of his ilk, down to knee socks and underwear made of pure silk. And his shirt and his suit, it was silk everything except for the rock on his huge pinky ring. This son of a gun was just loaded with class, and I knew that my ghoulie was soon to be grass. He was having some words with a fellow named Dom on the methods of making a hand grenade bomb, and he mentioned some judges who'd gone on the take and said to send flowers to somebody's wake. Someone not dead yet who'd made a mistake. And he saw that I'd overheard all that was said, so he pointed and mouthed the words, Marco, you're dead. And then out of the gutters and alleys they came. They pointed their fingers to shoot me with blame, a whole gaggle of Goombas, 300 pounds each, and a mean-looking consigliere named Cheech. And to make matters worse, someone said, you're a sneech. And you know what befalls all the sneeches who sing. They go down to the East River, bada boom, bada bing. How it fills me with terror and horror and dread to think of the terrible things that they said. Remember what happened to Sonny Chavone, who almost ate that exploding calzone? Or to Shoeshine McSnuffle McSniffle McDrip, who just happened to buff an exploding wingtip? Or to Frankie the Oobleck, who blabbed to a Fed? And who's stiff as a statue that's filled full of lead. And to Louie the weasel, that sleazel, that slouch, whose last words were what the, and uh-oh, and ouch. Not to mention that movie producer named Fred, whose morning was ruined by an ex-horse's head. And let's not skip over that bozo named Johnny, who befriended a certain D.A. Giuliani. Well, I shook like a yellow-tailed sneech's tail feather. And the last threat they threatened together. You wouldn't have seen what you shouldn't have seen if you hadn't have been where you shouldn't have been. You can't whack me, I shouted. I'm only 13. Just thinking of all of it hurt my poor head. Who doesn't mind thinking of winding up dead? But now it's too late to deny what I saw regarding his clear disregard for the law, because Florence and Rocco, Dolores and Pete said they all saw me see him on Mulberry Street. And my mother, God bless her, turned white as a sheet when I told her what happened on Mulberry Street. She said he'd be judged by a jury of peers, so they'd have to find 12 other top racketeers. And I knew that when what's-his-name did beat the rap, I could bet I'd be taking a permanent nap, which means I'd be untemporarily dead. So what could I do? I blabbed to some Fed. Though he looked like a Goomba, he was quite short and fleshy, and his voice sounded just like the actor Joe Pesci. He said he could help me get out of my jam if I was just willing to pack up and scram. Yes, sir, sir, I shouted. I certainly am. I would go into the Federal Witness Protection Plan. I'd sail to the island of Salisalu, where Goombas can't get me or tell me from you. Well, tough guy, what would you do? The end. Thank you very much.
Whoa. Let me applaud that. That's incredible. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
It's an honor of Dr. Seuss. I've written a lot of children's books, a lot of children's poems. If you go to my website, that's actually on my website, ericmetaxas.com, where you could sign up for my newsletter. But this cancel culture is insane. And I think we have to make fun of it. And we have to do everything we can to laugh at it. It's just absurd. It's absolutely absurd. I think the reason they canceled this book, now they didn't cancel all of Dr. Seuss. They canceled six books, which means they're not publishing them again. But this one has, this is like 1939, and it has, you know, a Chinaman. Okay, imagine 1939 in Chinatown. they would look like they were from China. This is not racist.
Yeah, I actually Googled it yesterday, and there's some wonderful vintage photos of people that look a lot like that character. And
that's the point.
He just seems like a happy guy who was down there at the time eating noodles. And
you don't understand, that's racist.
I think it actually looks more like representation. I mean, they may have a stronger case with the other ones, but to me, it was just sort of like, I know a lot of people, it inspired a lot of young people to want to travel and want to meet people that were from other places. And, you know,
exactly.
So it's just very sad. Initially, I thought it was about his book, Horton Hears a Who, which I thought maybe had been spelled H-U and I missed it. But that's about
funny.
Elephant.
Hey. That's funny.
Yeah.
Well, I guess speaking of cancel culture, before we go to our guest, I have to say, seriously, we all know Andrew Cuomo should resign. He's guilty. He's terrible. Okay. We know that.
Right.
He's responsible for the deaths of thousands of people. I can't imagine anything that is more of a reason for somebody to resign.
Right.
But I have to say, and not many people are going to say what I'm going to say right now, the idea that he is now being attacked as a sexual predator, okay? The third woman who came out, this is what happens in these cases. And I say this as a conservative who doesn't like Cuomo, but I want to say there are things that people do that deserve news and attention and they should get in big trouble. There's other things that people do which might not be right, but do not rise to the level of this guy is a menace to society. Okay. So whatever Cuomo did in the first and second instances, I don't remember, but the third one that came out, and I want to be one voice of sanity in the midst of the madness. Okay. He's a single guy at a wedding. He approaches a girl and tries to kiss her. He doesn't force a kiss on her. For this, the papers are writing stories and all this kind of stuff. Now you could say, I hate him, he's a jerk, don't come near me, that's fine. But the idea that we have to write articles about a guy at a wedding finding someone attractive, trying to kiss her. I mean, the guy is not somebody that I'm really a fan of. I think I've made that clear. But this is what we're writing about now. He's killed thousands of people, potentially. He's made abortion legal until birth. He's done every kind of horrible thing. Yeah. He has seemingly created a toxic workplace, but at a wedding, he tries to kiss somebody. Okay, now that might be wrong. I'm not saying it's right, but the idea that we're writing articles about that, and now that's an acceptable behavior. Bill Clinton tried to kiss somebody in the Oval Office. Oh, forgive me. Actually, he didn't try to kiss somebody in the Oval Office. Can you imagine what we're now talking about? It's just lunacy. So I want to say that on a happy note, folks, share our stuff on social media, share our stuff on YouTube, share our conversation with Jack Maxey about the Hunter Biden laptop. Please, please, please share it. Somebody in the news needs to cover that. Maybe Laura Logan or somebody who has some guts will cover it. I also want to say before we go, don't forget to go to metaxastalk.com and give to Food for the Poor. We really need your help, folks. They come to us because they know that you're generous. Please, everybody, give. The phone number is 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE.
Let there be no doubt, big tech and the far left have joined forces to purge America of conservative views. But even if you keep your accounts, you don't have to give big tech websites access to your data. That's why I choose to protect my online activity by using ExpressVPN. Ever wondered how free to access social media companies make all their money? Well, by tracking your searches, video history, and everything you click on, and then selling your valuable data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from eavesdroppers on your network. And the ExpressVPN app couldn't be easier to use. You just tap one button on your phone or computer and you're protected. Take back your online privacy with the VPN I trust at expressvpn.com/Metaxas. By visiting my link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free on a 1-year package. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Metaxas, expressvpn.com/Metaxas, express.com/Metaxas to protect your data today.
Folks, welcome back. Do you remember what I said? You remember what I said? I said that I would have my friend Bruce Fogarty on to talk about this insane idea, Easter crosses, and here he is. Bruce Fogarty, welcome.
Eric, it's always a pleasure to be with you ever since I met you on a cold, rainy night in New York City, probably, what, 15 years ago?
Isn't it wild? It's wild. And we've been friends for a long time. You, of course, live in Dallas. And I just want to say that when I heard about this Easter cross idea, I kind of flipped out because this is the sort of thing that I think I wish somebody would do that. And it turns out that my friend Bruce Fogarty is doing that. So let's start from the beginning. How did this idea come to you? And explain the idea, because it's amazing.
Well, it started with making a nice real estate commission in 1984, where I did the only smart thing you do is you travel. You know, so I planned a 3 week to a month trip to Europe with my recent bride, Mary Jane, and I asked my parents to go for part of the trip. And the only place my dad wanted to go was Normandy. He had been in the Naval Air Corps, and he wanted to go to Normandy. So on their anniversary, October 15th, 1984, Bluebird Day, we walked out on Omaha Beach. I saw all those white crosses. All, you know, if anyone's been there, you've seen Saving Private Ryan. You know, it's just an amazing sight. It's really, really staggering. So I went home, and the next Easter, I thought, you know, wouldn't it be cool if enough crosses could be gotten out demarking the home of a follower of Jesus than a grave? So every year for the next 19 years, I thought this. And finally, in 2005, I'm kind of like, I'm a little worse than Samuel. You know, I think Samuel had the three time, you know. I said, Lord, if you're in this, okay, it's your idea. I don't want to do it. It's my idea. So before Easter in 1995, I about 6 weeks before Easter, I started designing crosses. And I had the Arthur Blessed cross, you know, the giant cross. I had the itty bitty cross that, you know, I wondered if it was, you know, you could hardly see it. But I came up with this design, which has stayed the same. This is the 16th year, same size. And the big idea was, you saw the white crosses, but this has the stakes on it. The crosses go out, black side out on Palm Sunday for a week. And then the big reveal, drum roll, come on. You turn it on Easter for the good news.
Well, listen, there are a lot of people I know who already know about this, and they're now thinking, oh, that's the guy? That's the guy behind it? Because this has been going on all over the country, but there are parts of the country where people don't know anything about this. And I know because of COVID, you know, people, it's just such a bizarre year. I thought we need to talk about this, and we need to talk about it with enough time so people can do this. And actually, I don't want to forget to say this. Churches need to do this. Churches can order a bunch of these, give them to your parishioners. The idea of putting a, you know, Bruce, the reason this is so brilliant, you already know this, but it just struck me that the simple idea, the simplicity of a white cross on your lawn on Palm Sunday for that week, for Holy Week, it's so subtle. But it's powerful. It's not a big sign. It's not a big crazy thing. It's beautiful. It's subtle. You know, we have, I don't know, 300 million Americans who believe in Jesus. And it's just so simple. But then the idea that on Christmas morning, whaboom, it says he is risen. Look.
Easter morning. We can do Christmas.
Did I say Christmas?
Yeah, Easter morning.
I meant to say St. Patrick's Day. No, honestly, it's such a simple, beautiful idea. Honestly, I want to give you, congratulate you on it, because a lot of times those of us who want to share our faith, we struggle how to do it in a way that's appropriate, how to do it in a way that's simple, that's subtle, but powerful at the same time. So this to me, if I can say so, you're brilliant, but this seems like a God idea from my point of view.
It is a God idea, Eric. So again, 20 years, finally, God said, you want to do it, you want to probably get someone else to do it. But you're right. We all, anyone who professes Christ has the privilege, I say privilege and responsibility, but privilege most, to share our faith. And what is great about the Easter Cross witness is that for those who are timid, they can participate, and they might not have the gift of evangelism, but they can invite their neighbor to church. Okay, they can do that. And there's some guy at church who probably might have better gifts of apologetics or evangelism. So this is something where the timid can come along and share. And Jesus probably isn't going to ask you about, you know, the lost people don't know Jesus in Sicily. He might ask you if you get around. But I think he is going to ask us about our next door neighbor. I mean, place is important. Place, you know, God puts us in a place for a reason. And this is a simple way to do that. And it also, in some communities where this is taken over, and I mean taken over, it's like one across in every third yard, some, you know, can be. Not only does X mark the spot of a follower of Jesus, but without a cross, that X might mark the spot of someone who you can pray for. And it's been, it's a tool. I mean, that's what I share that the Easter Cross, which is not plastic.
Actually, hold on. We're gonna go to break. We've got more time with you, but people can go to EasterCross.org. EasterCross.org. I want to say that we're gonna come back. We got plenty more time, but folks, if you want more information, go to EasterCross.org. You gotta fly your freak flag, folks. The time has come. In America, EasterCross.org. We'll be right back with my friend Bruce Fogarty.
I'll say goodbye to all my sorrow, and by tomorrow, I'll be on my way.
Folks, you might not know this, but spring is coming, and every spring, typically, we celebrate Easter. Did you know that? Yes, that's what we do. A lot of us do anyway. And my friend Bruce Fogarty in Dallas has come up with an idea that I just think is so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It's so subtle and bold at the same time. Seriously, Bruce, I guess that's why these things are so popular in certain areas, just because there's nothing like it. The idea of putting this subtle white cross on your lawn. And it's also provocative. People are like, hey, what's that? You know, you put it up on Palm Sunday and it's there all week. And then Easter morning, Shazam, you flip it around and it says Christ is risen. Or I mean, it's just beautiful. And I how many states? I mean, this must be like all over the country by now.
I've shipped crosses to every state, I believe. Maybe not North Dakota. North Dakotans, come on. But every state.
You got to step up. North Dakota, step up, man.
And I've also printed crosses in Spanish
El
church.
Ha resucitado.
And.
Está terminado.
And we got the Eric Attacks special. For all you Orthodox Christians, you have another month, you know. I don't know if you do that. But Orthodox is, you have to.
Christos Anesti, Alithos Anesti, Topistevete. That is so beautiful. That means Christ is risen. And then Alithos Anesti means truly he is risen. You know, Bruce, we've talked about this. I sometimes think that there are certain people who they're big on evangelism. Certain churches are big on it. And other churches, they're not good at it. Mm-hmm. This is a way for everyone to share your faith. Folks, if you don't share your faith, I just want to ask you, what kind of faith do you have? Like, it's kind of like having $1 billion in your pocket and there's hungry people everywhere and you're not peeling off a couple of bills. What is wrong with you? Do you not understand that they're hungry people? Do you not understand the $1 billion in your pocket is not just for you to have in your pocket? That's evangelism. And so this is an idea, Bruce, and, you know, forgive me. It's why I wanted to have you on, because there's almost nothing I can think of like this. Anyone can do this. Any Catholic, any Greek Orthodox. And I want to say to my Greek Orthodox brethren, why aren't you doing this? Why are you hiding your light under a bushel? Do you not believe Christos Anesti? Maybe you don't believe it. Well, I don't know why you go to church if you don't believe it. But if you believe it, don't you want to tell the world? And it's kind of cool, too, that Greek Easter is often a different time. This year, it's like a month later. But Greek Orthodox Christians be able to share the Christos Anesti crosses? Do you have those this year?
Yes, if they, but it's a little bit, I need a special order. They can email me at info@eastercross.org. Yes, for those who want the Greek crosses.
Okay. Anyway, I just love this, that every single church, doesn't matter what kind of a church you go to, mega church, congregational, Methodist, Catholic, whatever, we celebrate Easter together, unless you're a freaky, you know, Greek Orthodox like us. But the point is that it's such a beautiful thing when you're driving around and you see these things and they represent all these different churches. So again, forgive me for raving, but there's so few things like this, Bruce. So when you told me about this, I thought, so you're that guy and you're doing this. And you've been doing this since 2005, you said?
That's the first year. Yep. After thinking about it for 20 years. So again, I was a little slow in the uptick, but I know it's not my idea, because Eric, realize now how many, there's 33,000 plus denominations globally. Okay. Yeah. 33,000. Martin Luther started it, you know, and had one little crack in the windshield and plus the Orthodox. The primary, one of the purpose of this is to unify the church so we can celebrate together and testify. Unify the church. I have a saying, I like theology and philosophy. You do too. A little bit of history. Too much theology kills you, and too little theology kills you. I was just at a breakfast with a wonderful ministry, you know, talking about this. And so Jesus is coming for a bride, not a harem. Okay. It's coming for a bride, not a harem. And we've got a harem. And often we don't even like each other, sadly. We need to love each other. And in these times of COVID and his increased persecution around the world, we need the family, the distant cousins need to come together on what's important. And what's important is the resurrection, because without that, we got nothing. We're toast. You know. So the joy of this is, you know, various churches and small towns. You get the Baptists, you get the Methodists, you get the Presbyterian, you got the wild charismatics, you got the mild charismatics, you have the Anglicans, you know, and you get them, and everyone, the only qualification for participating in this is you have to believe that Jesus really rose from the dead, one, and he earned the right to forgive the sins of those who call on him by faith. That's it. That's you know, now if you're a church that doesn't necessarily believe in the resurrection, you're a Kiwanis club with a choir. There's some out there, you know, we want you to, but you know, Eric, that Apostle Paul said, if Christ isn't risen from the dead, we're still in our sins. And the purpose of this, it's not an Easter cross, it's the Easter cross witness, because it's the prayer as the crosses go up, the Holy Spirit will use this to stimulate. I need to write a book about all the people who called me who have said that, you know, this has stimulated conversation. One interesting story, a woman in the first year, maybe the second year, called me up and said, you know, I've been wanting to witness to my neighbor and I didn't know how. And some 2 or 3 days after Easter, she saw this woman dragging her son kind of up the sidewalk to her front door, knocking on the door. And she looked, she recognized her neighbor. And she said, they knew each other, but weren't friendly. And her neighbor said, would you please tell my son what that cross is all about? He's been bugging me all week.
Are you kidding? I love this. No. We're going to drag you into hour two. And after we talk in hour two, our friend John Zmirek is coming on. Folks, this is a crazy day. Stick around. We'll be back.
I'm high on believing that you're in love with me.
Folks, have you done it yet? Have you done it yet? What am I talking about? Alvin, you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. Food for the poor.
Food for the poor. If you're listening to the sound of my voice, folks, you're obligated to go to metaxastalk.com. Hey, I don't make the rules. That's just the rule. If you can hear my voice right now, yes, you have to go to metaxastalk.com. But listen, this is a great opportunity. I joke around. It is such an amazing opportunity. We partner with Food for the Poor because they're reputable and because every single person wants to give back, knows we have an obligation to give back, to do something. But you always wonder how, what do I give to? Do I give to the Red Cross? Do I give to this? Are they reputable? Are they doing what? Well, let me tell you, that's why we work with Food for the Poor, because they are tremendously reputable. They have an ability, just for an example, $37. This is insane. $37. If you give them $37, they can feed a kid for 6 months. This is in Honduras, which has been devastated by back-to-back horrible tropical storms. They have the ability, they get donations of rice, of beans, whatever, and they use the money that we give to get this food to kids that literally are starving. I mean, we work with them because we know they're reputable, because they have the ability to stretch our dollars. And I have to say, $37 is, you know, that's madness, folks. Do you understand like what that means to a kid 6 months? You know, if you can get your kids involved, by the way, I always say it's really a wonderful thing to teach kids that we give back. And how do we give back? Well, we know there are people far less fortunate than we are wherever we are in life. And we have an obligation to do something. The only question is what? That's why we work with Food for the Poor, because they're the what? They're the folks that we can totally trust when we give. And we want to give something, but we don't know where to give. Well, that's it. So you go to metaxastalk.com. Metaxastalk.com, you'll see the banner. I've got a phone number too. But Albin, right now, if people give, they're also helping people in Texas.
That's right.
Yeah. Do we have a clip on that?
Yeah.
Let's play that clip.
It's not us over here and them over there, but it's all of us collectively. For a moment, we get to live life together. And the cool thing is, I saw Food for the Poor and what they did, where our money goes. And it was a beautiful thing that impacted my life in such a great way that I can't wait to go back, because I believe in what Food for the Poor does. I've seen it with my own eyes, and it really is a part of my heart and a part of my life now.
A lot of people in the Salem universe, the Salem faculty, as Sebastian Gorka calls it, have worked with Food for the Poor, have gone on trips to see what they do. So this is personal for us. This is not just some organization. We've worked with them for years. Phil Boyce has done a number of trips with them. So I'm going to give you the phone number. But I want to say, Albin, anybody who gives anything, we don't care how much you give, anything that you give, they're asking $37 as a minimum, but you give whatever you want to give. Obviously, we're hoping there are a lot of people that can do a lot more than that. But whatever you give, we will put your name in a hat, and we're picking a number of grand prize winners who will get signed copies of my new book, Fish Out of Water, signed copies of Albin's books, signed copies of my other children's books, my Donald the Caveman books, like tons of stuff, t-shirts, right, hats, whatever. There are a number of these we're giving out. It's not just one. So there are a number of grand prizes. If you give anything, your name goes in a hat, and we're going to be announcing these winners. But the phone number is 844-863-HOPE. That's 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE.
Yeah. And Eric, I just say, I just love the fact that you're not only helping poor people and people who are starving in Honduras because of tropical storms there, but also people right here in this country, in Texas in particular. So this is a great time to really give to Absolutely. Food for the Poor.
And if anybody wants to give $10,000 to Food for the Poor, I would be privileged to join you, spend an evening together. My time's valuable, but I want to give back. And so anybody who's prepared to give that kind of a gift will work that out. Folks, 844-863-HOPE. Check it out.